Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this day when we take the time to specifically honor mothers in God's marvelous design in the creation of families. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Scriptures class, searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, can someone deceive himself regarding his salvation? There will be a short deacons meeting directly following this service. Please refer your bulletin for activities scheduled during this afternoon and the insert for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 3 and 4. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all the works are done in truth. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 18, and now thank we all our God. Continue our worship with hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
please stand now as we sing hymn number 525, A Christian Home.
Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus. In this beautiful day here in America in celebration of Mother's Day, there is no better expression of your love given to man than the person of motherhood. So thank you, Father, for our mothers. And thank you for their love who gave us the idea of how much you love us. Thank you. And we hope that as we study the scripture this morning, we will become acquainted with one of the mothers of so many listed in the scripture that reflect our compassion, that tenderness, that risk of life on behalf of her children. Thank you, Father, for giving us a picture of what heaven really is in the person of our mothers. As a church body, we do have some of our members who need the touch of your presence in helping them to improve their physical condition. Dr. Joe McCormick, my friend for more than 25 years, Father, we pray that you touch his life and give strength to his legs so that he can stand back again. Mildred Plica, my faithful secretary for 10 years, Father, we pray that you give her strength as soon will be with us after surgery. George Bedolo, our Joseph Bedolo's father, who went back to the hospital, Father, we pray for a full recovery. Donald McDowell, for strength in his back. Loretta Forrest, who shines the glory of God in bed for so many years. Thank you, Father. For Mary and Jerry West, way back in Costa Rica, that Jerry may know that there is a God who loves him and cares for him, that he may search in the scripture and recover and have full recovery in his body. And the same with Mary, Father, who loves you and have this pain, that you may remove that from her. Thank you, Lord, for our missionaries. How precious it is to have them across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis in Pasadena, Carol and Ruth North in Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Poretti in Argentina, Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And then, Father, for those who work here in America, for our precious South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for the Christian Athletic Association, and for Daniel and Midian Lacey as Daniel minister on the sport ministries here in the races in America. Thank you, Lord, that we have these families representing Christ and doing what we are doing, showing the love, the care, and the righteousness of God and the need of a Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the joy of having the celebration of Mother's Day yesterday. And we saw the largest numbers of mothers here in our church coming in. Thank you for the speaker. Thank you for the challenge to know the friendship of God and to express that friendship with others. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of seeing people who believe in you and who were here together to learn about you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Father, you have been faithful, constantly faithful for us, more than faithful, rewarding us more and beyond what we expected. And we are thankful that you gave us a property, a new property, about four blocks from this one. Thank you, Lord. Was too high in price and they came down. Thank you, Lord, that you also provide people who will be able to buy this property and we will be able to develop a new building through ourselves, all expenses paid. Lord, you are marvelous. You are beyond our understanding. And for me as a pastor, as I said in the business meeting, what a joy, Lord, when 25 years ago we were three people in my home. And then we were eight people in a bank building. And then we bought this property in faith and we blossomed. And now we look forward when we will be in that new property that we blossom again to reach the community and to reach the people around the internet, the radio ministry, the CD ministry. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. And now, Lord, I'm grateful for your people who every Sunday provide for the expenses of the church. Thank you, Lord. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Exodus. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 66. We will be reading Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of a Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women's, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have revealed to us in your word that you have created all things and blessed us in uncountable ways. We particularly thank you for mothers. They have nurtured us from helpless infancy to the day when we were no longer helpless to do some things for ourselves. We thank you for this beautiful, loving design. Without you and the great person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would remain helpless. We gratefully profess that our dependence and confidence is in you forever, and thank you that you have adopted us into your family. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you that you have called him to that ministry. Bless him as he comes to bring the eternal truths from the Scriptures. Give us here and all those listening on the radio and the internet and tape and CD the ears of understanding that we may apply those truths to every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and of our church. We tell all the mothers who are here and all the mothers who are listening over the radio and over the large audience of the internet, God bless you and have a blessed day. Please turn your Bible to Romans chapter 15. I like to read one verse of the scripture for you. It's in the New Testament. I don't have the page number, but it's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Somebody have the number, the page number? What number? 1236. Thank you, Brother Tom. I forgot to write down the number and I did not memorize it. I'm getting old. 1236, all right? I want to read this verse and show you the value of the scripture. Because some of you may be new and some of you may be listening new to the Bible. And I'm surprised, but I keep finding people who do not know the scripture. The other day I spent more than 40 minutes explaining to somebody what Genesis 2 and 3 really said. And Brother Leo was with me. I tell you, this Bible is precious. And people don't know why we have an Old Testament and why we have a New Testament. Let me read it for you. Verse 4 in Romans 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, or before, you can put the word before the New Testament, were written for our learning, and if your Bible says instruction, it's also good, didaskalos, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture, you can read the word encouragement of the Scripture, might have hope. I want to bring encouragement to all of you mothers today. And I want to speak about a mother who was a believer in God and had a courageous life and give us a great example of motherhood to us. So you do well if now you move your Bible to the reading this morning in the second book of the Bible in Exodus chapter 2. And that's page 66. Exodus chapter 2. The passage covers the birth of Moses. Exodus chapter 2 covers the birth of Moses. But it focuses upon the mother of Moses. It tells us how she saved Moses from being killed by the king of Egypt. How she trusted God to take care of her baby, Moses. Moses' mother was a godly mother, a young woman who trusted God with all her heart, like mothers do. Here we have the picture of a believing, God-fearing, courageous mother. And remember what Romans chapter 15, 4 said? The things that were written before the New Testament started, the things that were written before, that were written so that we must have encouragement. When you read the Old Testament, read the story that is written there, the historical event that is written there, because it's going to give you encouragement. And I thought, what can I bring to you, mothers, as a reflection of God's counsel to give you encouragement? And what better passage than this one? There are five things that I want to deal with you. First, I want to talk about who she was. Then I want to show you her courageous spirit. Then I want to show you her wisdom. And then I want to show you her understanding of God, how she understood God. And then the most gorgeous face of the whole thing is how she was rewarded by this God in whom she put her faith. We're going to work through this passage that have been read. I hope you have it in your hand. We go verse by verse and we find out what God really says. Number one, Moses' mother was a slave of the lowest social rank. Look with me in chapter 2 of Exodus in verse 1. And there went a woman of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Remember, Israel had probably been in a slave for a century or more. The parents of Moses were therefore slaves when they married. This meant that both mother and father worked as slaves, were abused and yielded at, were poor and poverty striking. They live in a very small, poorly furnished house, had few, if any, possessions at all, had no opportunity to do what they want to, and more than that, could not better themselves. Moses' mother had no social standing with society, no decent clothes, no possessions, no rank, in no position.
She was a slave. Do you got it? She was a slave. Yet, God was to use this humble mother, this slave woman, beyond the imagination of mankind. We all remember Moses and forgot his mother. She was to give birth to the greatest man in law that ever existed, Moses. God will use us no matter how low our past, our present, our social standing, our position, our education, our rank, our achievement, our finances, our abilities, our heritage, our possessions, our appearance are. God will use you. That's the first lesson that we get. Moses' mother is a great example to us. No matter how lowly or far down we are, God will use you if you let it to use you. God doesn't depend on your human accomplishment. God doesn't expect you to have a college degree to use you. This is remarkable. If we only do what Moses' mother did between God and her, she believed God and followed after God, and God will accept us and use us to bless our life beyond your imagination. If you don't believe me, turn your Bible, put one hand in Exodus, and turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 1:26, page 1290. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, page 1290. Look what the scripture says and how God expects to use us. For ye see your calling, said the Apostle Paul, brethren, how that no many wise men after the flesh, no many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of this world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You read the Bible, the first 5 books of the Bible, and you never read a record from Moses' lips how he came from a great background. In America, that's very important. When I went to university to study, the first question the chancellor said is, what is your father's degree? That's in South America. What is your father's degree? Isn't that amazing? When I went to seminary, the same thing. I went to graduate school and they said, well, what are your studies? And I said to the dean, you never asked me if I believe or not. That's the most important thing to be in the seminar to begin with. Mothers, God will use you. Don't ever put yourself down. If you are a child of God, don't ever think, well, I cannot do it. Don't. Moses' mother did. Now, number 2, Moses' mother was a courageous woman. Would you turn your Bible back to Exodus chapter 2, and now verse 2. Moses' mother was a courageous woman. At some point in time, she became pregnant and bore Moses. This was her third child. I want you to know, this was not the first, the third child. Miriam, Moses' only sister, was obviously a young lady when Moses was born. Aaron, Moses' only brother, was 3 years older when Moses was born. Move your Bible to chapter 7 of the book of Exodus. You are in Exodus chapter 2 to verse 7. And look in verse 7. The Bible tells us that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. Exodus 7 and verse 7. And Moses was 84 years old, that's 40, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke unto Pharaoh. So you can see the one was 40, Moses, and 43 was Aaron, and so Aaron was 3 years old. Notice that the king's law to draw all newborn boys was not yet in effect at Pharaoh's, at Aaron's birth. When Aaron was born, there was no law that male children should be killed. He was a 3 years old boy, as the Bible said, alive and well, when Moses was born. The law obviously passed right before the birth of Moses. Now I want you ladies to picture this. You live in a country where the president or the king of that country said, if every Hebrew family have a baby boy, should be killed. Suppose that a president in America said, from now on, every woman in America to have, who is a believer in Christ and have a baby boy, should be killed. Just something like that. Picture for a moment the uneasiness of Moses' parents when his sister discovered that she was pregnant. When his mother discovered that she was pregnant. Can you imagine? Usually when a woman is pregnant, they call the husband and expect a great gift from the husband right away. All right? That's natural, right? You call your husband and say, I'm pregnant. And then you go crazy and you buy something special and you wait for that boy to play soccer and so on. And imagine. Just imagine. Their concern, anxiety, fear, uncertainty, wondering what would happen if the child was a boy. What would they do? I have a better question. What could they do? Month after month, for 9 long months, they will have to pray and wonder, trying their best to figure out what could happen. Please, let me read verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was goodly child, she had him 3 months. Finally, the day came, and their worst fears became a reality. A baby boy, Moses, was born. I want you to notice again the phrase, they're a goodly child. Some people believe that he was a good-looking fellow. But the Bible tells you what a goodly child really means. See, the life of Moses was written in two places, in Exodus and in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, because of the time, don't look on it. In Acts chapter 7, I think I found the reference for you. In verse 20, the Bible said that Moses was fear, very, very, very good looking, in the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord. These will tell me that this child was very special and the mother saw it. The point I want to make is this. Moses' mother was a courageous mother, a righteous mother. When she looked at Moses, God gave her a sense that that child was a special, like Mary when Jesus was born. The same thing. He was a gift, a very special gift from God. Now the thing I want you to notice back in Exodus chapter 2 verse 2 is that she hid the child. She put the child away. You see it? Right at the end of the verse said, she hid him for 3 long months. She hid the child at the risk of her own life. Moses' mother was a godly woman, but a courageous woman. She put her life in lieu of the child. And here's my practical view in this. What are we to do when the law of the state stand opposed to the law of God? What are we Christians to do when the law of the state, of the law of the nation, stand opposed to God? Moses' mother is a strong example for us, quietly and humbly, just as she did. We are to be courageous and righteous. We are to obey God and not man. And now, yes, look in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 5, and in verse 29, page 1186. Acts chapter 5, and verse 29, and page 1186. Look at the Sanhedrin is there, and they took two people into court, Peter and John. And the previous verses said this, guys, we told you not to preach in the name of Jesus. We let you go, but forget about Jesus. Look at Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, the law of the state is not about the law of God. How many parents see their children as Moses' mother did? How many see them as a gift from God? As a very special and important gift from God. What I thought for a moment, what a different world this would be if parents follow the example of Moses' mother. Ladies, when you have a child, the scripture says something about it. Two significant declarations said about that child that you have. I want to share it with you. Number one is back in Genesis, in chapter 33, and in verse 5. And the first thing the Bible tells you when you have a child, the first thing the Bible said is that children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. The story is when Jacob, in chapter 35 of Genesis, Jacob returned back to the land after being absent for so many days. And he has children and family, and Esau is waiting for him. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children. Esau lifted his eyes and he saw Jacob with his family and said, who are those with thee? Who are these people that are coming with you, Jacob? And he said, the children which, what? God had graciously given to thy servant. Mothers, children are a gift from God. But there is something else about children, and it's number two. Children must be taught the Word of God. Children must be taught the Word of God. You are in Genesis chapter 33. Move your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7, page 223. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, page 223. Number one, children are a gift from God, but number two, the Bible tells us that children must be taught the Word of God and the promises of God. Look at what the Bible says. And thou shalt teach God's Word diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou raisest up. All the time, use the occasions to teach the Word of God. When I pastored, my first church was in Newark, here in California, in Newark Bible Church. And I have the president of the railroad track in our congregation. And he became a believer. And started having children. They were a young couple, 30, 35. And I read that verse for him when we dedicate a child. And he did. He taught that child the Word of God. The child grew up, 5 years old. We finished the evening service. Nowhere is not what Nowhere is today. It was all empty. It was just a high school where our church was hosted, and it was all empty. And people would say, here will come a shopping center and so on. And it was late. My service in the night were for 3 hours. I taught 2 hours every night. And then it was night, and the moon was shining. And I walked away with this child, and he looked to the moon, and he said to me, God's flashlight. Then I knew that Daddy was doing the work. God's flashlight. So Moses' mother was a slave, the low category. She was a courageous woman, but also she was a woman that trusted God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 and let's work in verses 3 and 4. Moses was a mother who trusted God. The day came when Moses could no longer be hidden. His mother had to do something. What could she do to save the child? She had to be wise, work out the wisest plan she could. And she had to trust God completely. Trust Him to use her plan and save her child. And she did that. Look it with me. She made a watertight basket in verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark or a basket of bulrushes and dabbed it with lime and with peach. In other words, she made a water tie that the basket can float. Number 2, she put Moses in the basket and placed the basket among the reeds of the river. Look at verse 3. And put her child in, and she laid it in the flax by or in the reeds by the river's brink. Number 3. She then had the oldest child, Midian, stand some distance away, keeping watch over the child. Look at verse 4. And his sister stood afar off to weep, to watch what will be done to him. The point is this. The point to see is the great wisdom of and also the great faith of Moses' mother. She did all she could as she trusted God, trusted Him to use her efforts to bless them. She laid the best plan she could and carried them out. And in the midst of her plan, she trusted God to work everything out, to save actually the child. The faith of Moses' mother was so great that if you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, page 1312, Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 23, she is listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 23, page 1312. The Bible said this in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Boy, what a woman. What a woman. She was not afraid of this world. She trusted God. By faith Moses, she is then put in that place. Moses' mother, a great picture of a courageous woman. She was slave, no category. She was a courageous woman. She hid the child. She was a woman who trusted God. She put the child right in the nose of the king. Now Moses' mother was a woman who witnessed the sovereignty of God in her life. We're going to look in Exodus chapter 2, now verses 5. Now, look at what happened. Mothers, I know in America we have to work things out, people said. But look at this mother. Verse 5, Pharaoh's daughter discovered the ark, the basket. verse 5 in Exodus 2. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself, to take a bathe, at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the basket among the grass, she sent her maid to fetch it. In other words, Pharaoh's daughter discovered the basket. Verse 6, Pharaoh's daughters opened the basket. The baby immediately began to cry, detached her heart, and she was moved with compassion for the crying child. Look at verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on it. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Of course, he was circumcised. Circumcision was only done on the male and the Israelites, remember? Until 100 years ago, that was the rule. Now America do circumcision to the male here in America, but that's not the rule in any other countries. Still, the mark of circumcision is only a privilege of the Jewish people. And so she looked at the child and said, he's not an Egyptian. He's a Jewish person. Now, verse 7. At the very moment, Moses' sister demonstrated great courage. She woke up and suggested that Pharaoh's daughter have a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. Look at verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Now that's a lot of courage to talk to the daughter of Pharaoh. Verse 8, Pharaoh's daughter agreed with the suggestion. She instructed Miriam to go and find a Hebrew woman to nurse the boy. Look at verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. I tell you, I want to cry. Ladies, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you lose in your life a great deal. I want to cry. The point I want to make is to see God's sovereignty, ladies. His guiding hand through his entire event. When a woman is calling, God will guide your path. Be afraid of nothing in your life. God's spirit was hovering all around the small basket and the little baby laying in it. I want to give you the listing of things that happened. The only God can make those things happen, as I read it from the scripture. Number one, the reeds held the basket close to the shore. No crocodile was passing by. Pharaoh's daughter herself came to bathe at the right place. Pharaoh's daughter's glance in the right direction. She could be taking a bath looking backwards to the basket, but no, she glanced in the right direction. The baby began to cry just at the right moment. The arousal of deep compassion, a compassion deep enough to later convince her father, the Pharaoh, the king, to let her to keep the child. And then another one. Courage was shared with Moses' sister. Can you imagine a child? 3-4 years old. She will run away if I was Moses' sister. But no, she ran into the case. And she pleaded for help for that child. You know, it reminds me of the scripture. My time... I only preach to you an hour in the morning, so we will arrange with the radio. But this is what happened. The Bible says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Too much coincidence. Looks like a movie. That's how God will handle your life if you trust Him. That's how God will care for you if you trust God. He will handle your life that you will think that every day is a movie. You can't believe that things will happen to you. Finally, verses 9 to 10, Moses' mother had her faith rewarded. Look, Mama was afraid the boy is going to die. She does everything she can, and that's the responsibility, to protect the child. She placed the child in the hands of God on the river. Now look at verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, to the child, to Moses' sister, go. All right? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away. This is to Moses' mother. Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. Not only she had a child to tell about God, not only she had a child to teach the holy Hebrew language, and then she got to get paid. I've said this many times, and I have a pastor who wrote back to me, who's a pastor in another town, and said, oh, I never forgot your words when you spoke to pastors. When God opened the door, even the hinges blew away. Look at this. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Do you see what I'm seeing? God did something that you cannot plan. That's true. That's called the sovereignty of God in theology. You do what He tells you to do. You're responsible to God and you care for your family. But maybe there are no means and maybe there is an impossibility. You just do what is your part. God will take you from there. Now look in verse 10. Moses' mother saw God working all things for good. Her son was not only saved, but he was adopted by the Pharaoh. And the child grew, verse 10, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. The Egyptians don't know what they're getting into their hand on it. The Egyptians didn't know what they were getting into their own hand. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drove him from the waters. Here's the thought I want to have. Moses' mother had her faith rewarded. And ladies, yes, your faith is going to be rewarded. Our faith will also be rewarded if we only trust God. God will twist events and work all things out for our good if we will just love Him and follow after Him. If I have to wrap up the entire story and give you another encouragement in the scripture, would be in the book of Isaiah, in that famous verse in 41:10, page 797. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, page 797. Here's the lesson. Fear thou not. This is to a believer mother. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is not your psychologist. This is not your psychiatrist. This is God. The God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the way when the Jewish people talk about God, to know that you talk about the same God, they said this. They don't say Jehovah because it's too holy for them. So the word Jehovah, they tremble when they hear the word Jehovah. But they say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God who is still alive today in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is what all Christianity is all about. When we trust the Lord, we became part of God's kingdom and God's family. And God who made a mother out of a man's
rib, God, who made the mother out of a man's rib, will care for us. Just trust Him. Respect His sovereignty. Put your hands in Him. Do what is right and let it go. And God will take you from there and bless you as you cannot imagine. I cry a lot when I study this privately. I cry a lot. I remember I want to fix everything for my only daughter when she went to Davis University to study medicine. I know how horrible is the university. I know how terrible is the heart of man is deceitful, as Jeremiah said. And here is my 17 years old daughter in the first year of the university. But we rent a home, we place it there, and we pray, and we trust the Lord. Now the time has come again. As the babbling Jacqueline tells me about the stories of Boston and the city of Boston and all the things over there, I tremble for the university. I know she will do well. But I say, God, protect it. Put a friend of mine or those who live in the East Coast around her. That she will have a home church and that she will have a family to rely upon. There is no other way we raise our children. That's why parents, please, read that Bible and put the time until they are 15. They go straight from your hand like that. Put that seed of God in their heart and trust God the rest of the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this remarkable mother who taught us a lesson that it had no parallel in history. All because you, O Father, you are a mighty and sovereign God. Lord, I thank you that I know you. I thank you that many mothers here in the auditorium today know you. And I thank you, Father, that many of those who listen over the radio and those who listen over the internet and later on in the CD and tapes, many know you. Father, life is tough. Sometimes a husband loses the job. Sometimes sickness comes on their way. And I know mothers care. Care. So, Father, cause us to trust you. And we will be rewarded. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
stand, please, for the benediction.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Amen.